Hi, this is Terry Rook, and you are listening to the Wrestle Horror Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, couldn't do it without him, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, you showed me a picture of something, and I see a missing Pennywise back there.
Yes, I finally accomplished my bucket list goal, and Terry hooked me up with a Jason Friday the 13th animatronic, full size. It's like 6'3", and I guess she'd been, ever since I mentioned it a couple years ago on the podcast, she'd been trying to find me one, and they keep getting sold out. And every time she goes, they're, you know, and then she even went online to try to buy them, and they were sold out. And we was at Lowe's, and they have their Halloween display. Well, they usually have their Halloween display up in July, but we saw the Jasons and the Michael Myers, and there was a Freddy Krueger one this year too. And she was like, well, we could ask them, see if they will sell us the floor model or the demo model. And she just like walked over there, and they had one left, and it was like brand new, still in the box. And she just snatched it up and didn't even, you know, consider the price of it. She just snatched it up and threw it in the cart. And I was like, okay. So, yeah, so I finally got my full size Jason. So now I just got to find, now that I got on my new display back here, I don't have room for him. So I might have to expand my podcast area so I can put him in here.
Well, enough about Jason right now. Let's talk about our guest. His name is Terry Rook. I have known Terry for quite some time. We've had our ups or downs, but Terry is a haunter and a wrestler, but I'm not going to tell you who he is. So it just fell right in with Wrestle Horror, the whole concept. So Terry, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it, Jim. And yeah, we go back quite a ways to several haunts ago. And let me just be clear, way more ups than downs.
I agree. I will agree with you. There was definitely more ups. I mean, we worked well together. I mean, we go back all the way to Kings Island.
Kings Island. Yep. That was a lot of years ago. Ooh, wee.
So you guys knew each other before Dent then?
Oh yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is my 13th season with Dent, so yeah, we're going back a little bit.
yep. Wow, I mean, what a roller coaster it's been. So I you know, there's probably one question I've never asked you, Terry, and all the time I've known you, is what got you involved in haunting?
The easy answer is, much like the rest of us, I'm not right upstairs. I've loved it since I was a kid. I mean, you know, running around, going through haunted houses as a kid, and then acting in some of the community haunted houses just for fun, or, you know, folks dress up their yard, or a neighbor does a little yard haunt, acting in that, having a blast. And it was 2003 when I started doing it for money. Somebody said, hey, we'll pay you to scare the crap out of people. Sounded like a dream come true. So 2003, Kings Island, that was my first year haunting. I guess they call it professionally. I don't know. I'm learning every year and having fun, but they pay me for it. So that's a good part.
No, I consider it, if they're paying you, you're a professional.
Excellent. I need to talk to my real job then. Hold on.
Well, I definitely remember meeting you at Haunt back in, I think it was 2008.
Sounds about right.
When I got there, and I, pretty much like you, it's like, I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, I get to scare people and I get paid for it.
It was a blast.
Does it get any better than that?
And I haven't found that it does yet. No, I think that is the top.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, man. It's been fun between, you know, between Haunt and Dent, and everything in between. It's just been, it's been really cool.
Yeah, lots of fun. And it's funny that it's taken, you know, different, where it takes you, the different journeys. I never knew I would go the places I went. I'm sure you never envisioned it when you started haunting that you'd go where you went. And I'm sure nobody thought that we would be sitting talking on a podcast 20 years later.
Some people are like, oh boy, here we go. But it's all good, man. It's all good. And here we are talking on a podcast. And I know Donnie's got some questions for you, so I'm going to throw it over to Donnie.
Yeah, I'd say, well, I knew Terry before and knew of his reputation and all that. And
I'm very sorry.
Of where he was in the haunt business and the wrestling business, which basically is what we all are. So it was a perfect fit. And we just talked to Maximus, you know, last week on the last show about the Ohio Haunters Association meeting at Carnage. And Terry was the guest speaker. So I got to sit there and, you know, listen to him and hear what he was talking about. He basically just had like we're doing. He had a conversational training and people asked questions and he gave advice and taught. And I found it like, you know, usually everybody goes in with a set agenda and he just kind of like wung it. And I thought that was, you know, nice touch. And I actually learned some stuff. And so I just wanted to get him on here because, like I said, he does haunting, he does wrestling, he does acting. He basically does everything that we do and is pretty much what the Wrestle Horror concept is all about.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, that OHA meeting was fun. And my better half says I make shit up all the time, so I'm pretty good at the improv-ing arena.
So you brought walking and talking to the haunt world.
sure did. Called it on the fly, kid. I called it on the fly.
one of the interesting things that I did pick up, and I was gonna bring this up during the meeting, but I noticed Maximus standing to the left trying to give you the take it home signal. So yes. I didn't want to extend it. But you were talking about, you know, like the actors and stuff and, you know, taking and pacing themselves because it's a long night and they're going to wear out and get tired. And, you know, me and Jim, we did a presentation for HauntCon during the COVID era when it was all online about, and it's called Wrestling with Your Character. And it's basically how similar wrestling and haunting is, like physically, you know, mentally and all that. And, you know, what I wanted to bring up there is, you know, you were talking about during the off season, they work on their characters and their development and all that. And, you know, I was going to bring up the fact that they should also work on their cardio, you know, kind of like, I know a lot of people don't like to work out year round, but, you know, if they, you know, just work on their cardio and kind of, you know, work out a little bit and try to stay in, you know, better shape, you know, the better shape they get, the longer they'll be able to go throughout the night.
100%. And just like in the wrestle world, we say there's, you know, there's cardio and then there's ring cardio. Mm-hmm. Being in ring shape is completely different. I've seen guys with six packs and lean figures get blown up in 5 minutes. Yep. And I've seen guys who may not be in the best shape of anybody else ever that, you know, can go 15, 20 minutes in the ring. And how does that happen? What's the secret? The haunting business is the same way. There's, you can be in shape and have cardio, but totally be spent within the first hour of a haunt night. And there are people who look like they should drop over in 5 minutes that do 8 hours just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, we actually had a guy way back in the day when I was still active, and he did a tryout, and he was actually did marathons. He was a marathon runner and in great, you know, great shape, looked like a million bucks. And like you said, 5 minutes, he was huffing, he was blowed up and he was ready to pass out. And I was like, it's a different world, isn't it? He was like, it sure is.
Completely different, but that translates to the haunt industry too. So even being able to take that, like, yes, work out, know that we all have this gas tank for our energy, and some of us are Teslas and some of us are, you know, Hummers that burn up very quick. So we don't necessarily know what that is. And how do I increase that? How do I get more mileage out of what I'm doing? How do I get to last all night long, all season long in the haunt industry? And there's things to do. You can play with that, but most of it is I got to know me, and I got to know how my body reacts, what wears me out faster than others, that sort of thing, how to breathe, when to breathe, all that stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've tried to convince wrestlers to come, you know, act at haunted houses. I'm like, A, you'll love it. You'll have the time of your life. I'm like, B, you're pretty much built for it, you know, cause you got the ring cardio, you got the improv and the acting, you know, talents and all that. and it'd be a perfect fit. And yeah, so some of them try it and some of them don't. Like right now I got Superman Onyx, our Arnold champion. He's hooked on it. So he was with us last season at Carnage and he's coming back this season.
Nice.
So, yeah. So we put him in the cemetery. He's like the big gigantic gargoyle guy that blocks the whole aisle. So can't get around him.
I could, yeah, he's a big dude. I got to see him. I was up at the Arnold this year, got to watch a little bit. So yeah, he's a big guy. But his again, his cardio is great. He's in phenomenal shape.
Oh yeah. He goes all night and he's just fine at the end.
So, I don't know how they do it, but you know,
but he will not go through a haunted house.
No, no, he won't walk through one. He goes right through the side exit door, straight to a spot in the cemetery, and that's it. He doesn't walk through the haunt, and he's never walked through. And I've tried to get him to walk through both, like the hospital and the bayou, and he won't do it.
You know, it surprises me how many people are like that, though. We've hired them year in and year out that just are terrified of haunted houses, but they love being able to perform and they're okay with that.
Yeah. But he's got like the sounds memorized. Like he doesn't know what the scenes look like because he's never went through, but he knows like the screaming lady at the little gravesite that's praying. He knows where she is, and he knows when she screams that it's probably a good 5 to 7 minutes before they're coming through. And he's got all this mapped out in his mind.
Got the timing down.
Yeah, and he's never walked through one time.
But there is such a carryover from in the ring to in the haunting industry. I mean, learning how to look at the cues, learning how to read your guests so you know who can I interact with? How can I make this personal instead of just a vague experience? Who should I stay away from? You know, the people that in the ring, if they're easily offended or already angry, don't like you in their bubble. Same thing with haunted house guests. Who do I need to stay away from? Who's going to react? Who's going to not be entertained in one way or the other by this experience? So being able to read people, your timing, your positioning, all the stuff they talk about in in-ring training is very similar to the stuff we talk about in haunt training.
Absolutely is. You know, they go so hand in hand, it just amazes me.
Yeah,
and before I got in it, before I got into the wrestling business, I never would have even thought about the carryover.
Right. Yeah. And that's what me and Jim has like little by little been working on about developing a concept, like the WrestleWorld concept of where basically we take wrestling and insert it into the haunts industry to where not where like a whole haunts all wrestlers and lucha mask, but to where we make scenes more violent and improv, like, you know, like a damsel in distress or a girl on a table that breaks free and gets away. And all of a sudden the murderer comes out, grabs her and snatches her up. And, you know, where something people wouldn't expect, you know, or just like two guys just fighting in a scene, you know, something you don't see very often to catch them off guard. But that's something we're, you know, developing, and we think it'd be a great idea. And I'm actually trying to talk to me and them a little bit here and there about letting me experiment with a scene and see what I can come up with and make a scene like more violent and more action than just, you know, the actor coming out and getting up on people and stuff.
It's carried over. I've been in a couple different locations where we've done that and just kind of talked. It was more a version of stage combat, but how to simulate violence so you're not actually hurting your partner.
Right.
Because turns out if you hurt your partner, you don't have anyone to work with. So
right. Imagine
we're still talking about haunting, right? Yeah. So in the haunt industry, and you guys know, you've been in the business, so it doesn't take much for in the dark when the lights are flashing, people are disoriented, even actors, you know, hurt themselves often. So keeping them safe, paramount.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, that's one of the primary things about our wrestle horror concept is, above all, actor safety.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. I've taught that for years. Rule number one, safety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, and it falls back into wrestling, too. You can work with somebody who's loose. You can work with somebody who's stiff.
Yep. And if you hurt your partner, you can't go to the next town and make money. Or if you're in the haunt industry, you can't go to work the next night and get paid for a good scene because you've hurt your partner or you've hurt yourself. So learning how to do those things carefully, safely, yet give at least the appearance that something nice has happened. And it's, I don't want anyone to get the impression that maybe listening like, oh, they're just, that's what pro wrestling is. No, it's not. Very different, but some of the concepts involved are similar.
Right. Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, it still tickles me because you go to a horror convention and what do you see? Pro wrestlers.
And you go to a pro wrestling convention and who do you see? People, cosplayers and people who like the haunt genre.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's another way that these two tie together. I mean, I've met several wrestlers at horror conventions. I met Sting at a horror convention. Mm-hmm. I met Ric Flair at a Comic-Con.
It's the I do see the crossover crowd, and it makes sense. What are comics about? They're about characters and they're about storytelling. At its essence, what is professional wrestling about? Characters and storytelling. The haunt industry, at its core, while we're doing it in a scary way, they create characters and they tell stories.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, one of the things that I've thought about is the relaxation of kayfabe in certain respects.
I don't know what that is.
What I'm saying is there are plenty of fans out there that still believe.
As they should in the entertainment, in every entertainment genre. I'm a big believer of this. The whole, when I watch a movie, totally old school because we're all not 25. Terminator, you know, no one believed that there was a cyborg running around our streets. So there's a term called willing suspension of disbelief. We know this, what's happening is not necessarily real, but it's the story is told in such a convincing fashion that for a brief moment in time, we suspend that disbelief while we know he's not coming to get us in the theater. We believe and feel everything that's happening on the screen or that the protagonist is experiencing. Same way with theater, same way with the haunt industry, same way with professional wrestling, immersive, you know, murder shows or whatever. All of those have the same concept, that willing suspension of disbelief.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, it is that disbelief that drives people. I mean, now, you know, I watched pro wrestling from the age of 12 until now. I've been in the business for 4 years. But I still get invested in some of the storylines I see. And, you know, I feel real emotion, even though I know the opposite side, I still feel that emotion when I watch a show. And that right there shows you two good wrestlers. They keep you going. They keep that suspension of disbelief going, especially when you know how the business works.
For sure. Once you're in the business, I've said this and other people have told me, being in the business can ruin you as a fan. Same way with other entertainment genres. If you know what's going on, it can spoil you for experiencing it. But it can still happen if wrestling, if I've got somebody that really is into crowd work and interaction, conveying emotion, then I get invested and suddenly I'm a fan again. If I'm in theater, same way, I know they're saying scripted lines or I can tell what they're doing, but if they do it in such a way that for a moment I forget that I know that and I'm just living and watching and experiencing, that's the shtick. That's what we hope to do, is just entertain. And we do that by conveying emotion. It's not about the words that are said on stage. It's not about the actual move in a ring per se. It's not about what a haunter, what weapon they have, or, you know, what movement they make. It's about that emotional connection.
Right.
That's what tells the story.
Mm-hmm. I just thought, as you were saying that, I just thought of a good question. I don't think we've ever asked anybody on the show. We've never really had a wrestler haunter on the show that I can remember, anyway, wrestling matches go 5, 8, 10, 12 minutes. You're in front of that crowd entertaining. Haunting, you got 3, 5, 7 seconds. What's the biggest pivot, or what's the biggest issue or problem or way to compromise that? Like, you know, to overcome that when you wrestle on Saturday night, or you're at the haunt Friday night, and you got your, you know, you only got 7 seconds to get somebody and tell your story. And then you go the next night and they got you on for 10 minutes and then you have to adjust and tell a longer story. Like, do you find that, do you get those twisted a little bit, or is it just,
I think because of the experience in different theatrical genres and having different time lengths to tell my story, I know that I can cater my story and I know how much I can put into it. You tell a story that fits in the time frame. If I only have 7 seconds with a person, then obviously I can't delve into any deep character development with backstory or give a monologue. Hello, my name is, where are you going? I missed it. But by the same token, if I've got a 15-minute match and I do everything in the first 3 minutes and I got nothing left, then the story is dead. So I have to tell my story, concoct my story in such a way that it fits whatever time parameters I'm given.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think you could take a wrestling story, like, you know, like your B.A. Bundy, like if B.A. Bundy was to
go to
Dent and, you know, be a jerk at Dent, do you think he would be able to take a story or something that's happened in his wrestling career and transcend it into 7 seconds to a haunt customer?
Absolutely. Any good entertainer should be able to do that if properly trained in the particular genre. So if you have a haunter that's trained as a wrestler, they should be able to tell their story in the different time allotted. It shouldn't be that much of a challenge if they know how to concoct a story. Mm-hmm. What is a story made of? We all know what that involves. And a big part of a story is character. So character establishment is pretty key in telling any story. How do you fit into the overall piece of what's going on? So do I have 10 minutes to tell this, or do I have 7 seconds? How do I tell that? So it may be with my words, it may be with my movements, it may be with my facial gestures, it may be with sounds. There's, you know, a number of ways that we can interact. What can I do to pull out an emotion from that guest in the time I have? Obviously, the longer time I have, the more emotions I can pull out. That's probably one of my favorite parts of being a performer. I've said it when I do stage shows or immersive shows where I'm out there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, is I get to take people on a roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. I'll take them up and make them laugh, and then I'll do something to be so either sinister or sad or what have you, that I can literally control how they feel. And that's a sickly narcissistic feeling, perhaps. But as an entertainer, it's a wonderful thing to know that the crowd will follow me, because obviously I can't force them to do anything. But am I convincing enough that they want to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that interested me about you and stuff, and I've heard of people doing this before, and it's kind of common in wrestling and even in haunting, but when you were at the OHA, we were talking about character development, and we were discussing that, and you were talking about Terry Rook, and then you were talking about B.A. Bundy, and the two separate people. And I'm not sure what your haunt character's name is. I never learned that yet. But so instead of the three faces of Foley, we can call it the three hooks of Rook or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's a t-shirt. I'm so getting that made.
Talk about a little bit about that, how you're three separate personalities and how that all works for you.
So yeah, every character I invent, and I have, so there's characters I've done routinely that I know I'm known for in the haunt industry. My main three that I carried on for numerous years. One was Cujo. He was part dog, part man, slid on the ground, walked on all fours, then would come up on all feet, growled, howled, but he was kind of a character. Or there was Lil Willie, who was special, we'll say, who mostly walked around picking his nose, but would still, he was more the laughable, but would still get some pop scares. And Nurse Joe. Nurse Joe was by far my creepiest character. Mm-hmm. She didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite a deviation, but that also shows diversity. So the three characters, one, the dog, aggressive, more faster moving, a lot more physical, and definitely the meanest of the three. So if there was ever an intimidating one, one that would do what you would think of in a haunt actor as a scarer, that was Cujo. Lil Willie did not belong in a haunted house to look at him. He was wearing shorts and a button-up shirt with suspenders, a little newsboy hat, walking around picking his nose with a lunchbox. What is this guy doing in a haunted house? But he was the laughable character. He was silly. He brought people's defenses down in a haunted house, so much so that I could take a small thing and get a huge reaction out of it. My favorite thing to do is Little Willie. Talking to people, interacting, whatever, picking my notes, having fun. And then they see my lunchbox and they're like, well, what's in there? It's my lunch. You want to see what I brought? And I open it up. And as they go to look in, I shut it real fast. They jump and scream. And I say, chicken, ha, and walk away. Stupid. Just nothing there. Very, very simplistic. But because I disarmed them so much and they were so comfortable, that small little pop got a much bigger reaction. Just using the story and psychology. Nurse Joe was completely different. Didn't talk, moved very slowly, very seductively, as well as much as, you know, I could. just creepy is the best way I can put it. Invaded people's personal space without touching them. I was huge on not touching as a haunter. That's how I was raised, was we're not touch haunts. There are days when you do that, but by the majority, if I have to touch you to get a reaction, then I'm not very good. Right. So I was raised that I don't have to touch you. I can, and I don't have to even be near you. Cujo could, I've literally locked eyes with people 30 feet away and took two steps and had them running. Mm-hmm. Nowhere near them. And Jim's laughing because he's done the same thing. He's seen it. You've seen it. You've done it. Mm-hmm. All haunters that have started diversifying and experimenting and learning different tactics can do this. But I found my characters were an extension of me.
Definitely.
Seems a little schizophrenic since I had three characters and they're all an extension of me and they're all so different. But they each grabbed an element of my personality. So true performing, in my estimation, you got to know yourself. What are some things about you that you can turn the dial up on? Meaning, what's a characteristic that maybe you portray that I can exemplify and raise it to a higher level for that character? Terry is witty. Terry likes to joke and throw bad dad jokes or puns or, you know, stupid hot groaner jokes. So Lil Willie was that turned up to a higher extension. So Lil Willie would say those stupid dad jokes or try to make people laugh with groaners or just be silly without being scary. So it was an element of me just turned up. Mm-hmm. Terry used to have a bad temper. Now it just extends from road rage and telling people to get off my lawn. But I still can go there. So Cujo was that element turned up to 11, that he was very angry all the time and would rooster up on people. You know, when people stick their chest out and go, that's what I call roostering up. You see it out in society all the time. Cujo would do that. And Nurse Joe was kind of the get in your head person. And me being my cute job for the last 20 years has been with my psychology degree. So I'm in a clinical field that way. So I'm used to being able to understand people, read people, assess people, help people. So that was Nurse Joe. She was able to look at a crowd, read and see. I could tell from looking at someone who didn't like their space invaded. So that's what I did. Or I could tell people who were uncomfortable with the style of character that I had. So I was obviously playing it up with them a little more. Mm-hmm. So every character, whatever it is, if I'm in murder mystery and I'm playing a detective, okay, I'm not a Brad Pitt detective. I'm more of a Columbo detective. There's a couple references you guys get. So I just take that characteristic of myself and turn it up.
So who's this B.A. Bundy asshole are you talking about?
He's a jerk. So yeah, B.A. Bundy's an independent wrestler. He's been around a few years. He looks a lot like me, only he always carries a sad scowl and never smiles. So I, you know, we're different. But he's a professional wrestler, and he's a biker. So that's his shtick. Straight out of Sturgis, baddest biker east of the rally. And that's his thing, is he's a bad man, just doesn't take shit from anybody and would just as soon slap your mom as he would smile at you, even though he doesn't smile. So he really, people don't know how to take him. I've seen fans legitimately intimidated by him.
Mm-hmm.
So selling his merch or whatever, I've seen fans just kind of afraid to go talk to him. Right. Which is a little weird, but that in the ring portrays that. Terry, I recognize that. I understand that, because as a man, as a human, as a Gen Xer, which you guys can relate to, there's a level of I'll only take so much shit that we all have. So I have that too. So B.A. Bundy just takes that to another level. He just don't take very much.
Right. Very cool.
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information, or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, Unit 6137.
That's great. You know, I've got to say, Terry, I have seen all three of the characters you mentioned. And each one of them was really great in their own right. The one that creeped me out the most, of course, was Nurse Joe. A little too creepy for me, for my taste.
Did Nurse Joe ever get inside your personal space?
Yeah. Yes, that was her thing. If anybody was intimidated in the least, and she didn't care. Actor, manager, owner, guest, she didn't care. Matter of fact, one of the owners of the haunt, and I won't say which one to respect the nameless Josh Wells, was told me specifically, I hate her. I hate her. And it was because she creeped him out. Sorry, Josh. No, I love Josh. He's awesome. He will probably refute that till the day he dies, and that's okay. I would too. But I was told that by a number of people, that she creeped everybody out.
Yeah. I got to tell you a quick story. When Maul was working over at Indie Screen Park, I dressed up in my Kinks clown character. You know, straight the skirt, the fake boobs, the whole nine yards. And I was working the night, and some people would, oh no, that's not a girl, that's a guy. And then I let them touch my boobs, and they're like, oh, God, it's real. But there was this one kid, I think he's 16 or 17, is with his buddies. He was my target for the night, because every time I got close to him, he didn't want nothing to do with me. So I am dogging him. I didn't care what cue line he was in, I was there. And then one of his friends gave me his phone number.
Oh, no.
So I came up to him and I said, so 317-555-1212. And his eyes got about this big around. I looked at him, I'm going to call you later. We're going to have some fun.
Oh my.
And this went on the entire night, Terry. I would look for this kid wherever I could find him. And finally, at the end of the night, I convinced him to take a picture with me. And he gets up next to me, and he's still real hesitant. And I reached over and grabbed his butt.
That kid didn't sleep for a week.
It was
very fun to play such a character, so easy. And even if you stick, and that's much like other areas of performing, a lot of haunters think I have to scare everyone in the group, and that's just not the case. It's a scare environment, but depending on my scene, my role, what's happened, you know, the flow of the roller coaster, where we're at, what we're doing, I may not be there to scare at all. I may be there to entertain. I may actually be there to bring your comfort level down so that the next pop scare takes you back up. If you're queue line entertainer, which I did and you did for a while, Jim, we do all that at once. So I orchestrate my own flow. I've done it with the same person. I'm sure you guys have too, where I'll terrify someone, then befriend them, have conversations, then I'll creep them out so they start weaning back. And people are like, oh, you're focusing too much on the one person. No, because everyone that's around them is now entertained. Mm-hmm. Whether I scare this person, I may scare a couple other people, and then those people by them laugh. Somebody else hears and their head turns, the ripple effect. So now I'm focusing on one, but I've actually entertained 20 or 30, depending on the crowd in my line. And if they're moving in different parts, I catch them in different areas, that 20 or 30 has changed. Chances are they're not with the same 20 or 30 people all over the park.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm really entertaining 20 or 30 different people every time by focusing on this one person.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to get entertainment out of it. I mean, and misery loves company.
It's fun to laugh at somebody else who's not really suffering, not one of life's true sufferers, but I mean, honestly, how many of us laugh when our friend trips?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
As soon as you know they're okay, you start laughing. So in that environment where, you know, I know it's a haunt, I know it's an attraction, you're not really going to get hit by a chainsaw. But so when your buddy, something happens and your buddy jumps, the rest of us laugh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's, I do believe we as humans like to do that. We experience that and it's funny. It's entertaining.
Okay, for sure.
It is, you know, it's just like watching Fail Army on the internet or something, you know.
God, I've vapor locked. I don't know how many times watching that where I just couldn't breathe.
And nowadays you can find all kinds of that stuff on TikTok. You know,
yep.
Like, and you know, I'm, it's a guilty pleasure of mine. I'll bring up Fail Army. I'm not ashamed.
I will watch ridiculousness. I will binge watch ridiculousness on MTV.
Absolutely.
Same concept.
So, Donnie,
mm-hmm.
Are you ready to give him the question?
Yeah, I say we can do that. I wanted to ask him, though, here. We got a surprise question that's coming up here in a second. But
they're all surprised. I wasn't briefed on anything.
Right. but I did want to try to pull out a gold nugget or two if I could. We like to do that during the podcast. So, yeah, if we could get like one solid piece of advice that you want to share for the haunt industry and for wrestling or for both together, you know, that would work for both sides. Just something that would help, you know, the listeners out there.
And there's so many so many areas I could go with that. Performing in general, so theater, immersive, haunt acting, wrestling, they're all forms of entertainment. They're all, you're hooking somebody into a story and letting them forget life as it is for a little while. And that's what we do as entertainers. So make it believable. There are things that each industry does that kills that believability. Whether it be, and we've all heard the stories and said the stories, whether it be I catch a haunter taking a swig of water, you know, during the crowd, or they do it out front, or they've got their cell phone out. When you're at a wrestling show, when I watch two guys who were just in the ring beating the snot out of each other, now they're both out at intermission shaking hands, mm-hmm. doesn't make a whole lot of sense. on the stage when I, if I see somebody portraying a character and they're doing a wonderful job, but then all of a sudden they do something that totally kills that. It kills the whole experience. So I try to respect the experience as much as possible and keep it believable for people.
Yeah. Very cool. Solid advice. Yeah. Yeah. So now we're going to hit you with the question. Yep. This is a question we ask all of our guests, and there's no right or wrong answer. It's just for fun. We just like to get inside the minds of our guests and see if they're as twisted as we are. So the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
What is my go-to kill? Oof. See, this will let you know how twisted I am. As a person who's envisioned a scenario like that a few times, it's been different based on what's happened.
I think about one of those.
if it's a cold-blooded Michael Myers type of serial kill, where I really don't have any kind of connection to this person, then it's probably going to be quick, painful, but quick. So a neck snapping is not going to be it. It's probably going to be a rib crushing, you know, asphyxiation or something like that. But if there's an emotional connection to, I'm angry at the person, they've cut me off, they've impeded my process, something like that. See, I'm getting really sick. I know how serial killers get. It's going to be a lot more gory and slice them up, dice them up, you know, chainsaw, hack them up, you know, cut somebody around one hole to the other the long way type of deal.
Nice.
How's that for a visual? Right. And I've never thought about that before.
Yeah, there you go. It just popped in there.
I will say on both answers, you know, Donnie and I have been doing this since about episode 50. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be episode 156, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never had a duplicate answer ever.
Nice.
So, you know, I love both your answers. I think they're awesome. And, you know, the rib crushing is just like, I never really thought about that one before.
Yep.
So, you know, kudos to you, Terry. You are as twisted as I thought you were.
Yay, I fit right in.
So, is there any social media you want to put out there? Maybe for you, for Dent, or, you know, whatever you want to plug out on the show.
There's so many things I'm involved in, you know, put them out there. So I do murder mystery dinner shows with the Murder Mystery Company. I do stage shows and ghost walks and lantern talks with plot performers out of Milford. They've actually got both a stage show and ghost walks and lantern talks coming up in October. That is a heck of a thing, actually. So plot performers, find them on Facebook. I'll talk about that if you guys want. Wrestling, I wrestle for a few different organizations. I trained and learned the business through Ascend Pro Wrestling. Tim Lutz is the head trainer there, and there's some other very good local vets that have been traveled and know what they're doing. They are very safe, very competent. So I would definitely say if you're looking to get in that business, look up Ascend Pro Wrestling. There's other good training schools in the area. Of course, Cody Hawks in Cincinnati. I mean, name speaks for itself, but there's different ones. Know what you're getting into, but Ascend Pro Wrestling has definitely treated me right, and you know, I can't say enough positive things about them. The Dent Schoolhouse is the haunt that I've been affiliated with for the last 13 seasons. This is my 13th season, so they're great. But enjoy the haunts around. If you're in Cincinnati, which is my area, there's a few around. Of course, going up Carnage, we were just there at the OHA thing, so mm-hmm. I've had a blast at Carnage. I mean, Ohio, we said this at the OHA meeting. I guess something came out on Facebook that Ohio has, what was it, 147 haunts or something like that?
Yeah, we have the most in the country.
More than any other state, so we ain't right here. take advantage of that. Go enjoy, work around the haunt industry. I know a lot of theater or entertainment groups that exist in the same area like to have competition. Know my haunts better. There's enough entertainment out there for all of us. Right. We don't have to compete that way. We can go to different haunts, different times. Turns out most people aren't going to go to the same haunt every single night they're open. We have had a couple, But most people aren't going to do that. They like the experience, the variety. So they're going to travel around and enjoy different haunts, enjoy different theater troupes, enjoy different wrestling shows. Go see the people that are out there. Guaranteed, especially on the independent level, you guys know this. We are watching people that within a few years, we are going to be watching on television. Hands down. There's no doubt in my mind. I can think of two or three of the guys I train with at Ascend that I know will be on TV one day. No questions asked. They're just phenomenal, hardworking kids, which is awesome. I call them kids because they're half my age, but you know,
right.
I'm way too old to be doing that stuff.
That's why I just promote now.
You know, there's a thing I've actually started learning. So I've only been in the wrestling business. I know we haven't talked much about that, but I've only been in the wrestling business itself for about 3 years. Started training, but I didn't start training until I was 42 years old. So DDP made a career, amateur. No, I mean, he made millions of dollars. So obviously he's doing something right. And I'm not ever going to that level, which, you know, and I'm cool with, but I started old. But as a kind of a commercial out there for everybody, if you've ever wanted to do something, people, we've all been told you're too big, you're too small, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too old, you're too young. Don't listen to those people. If you have something you want to, whatever it is, if you want to be a seamstress, if you want to be a wrestler, if you want to be an actor, if you want to be a NASCAR driver, whatever it is, don't let someone tell you you can't.
Very, very sage advice.
Yeah, I'm old.
Remember.
Yes, yes, but true. I mean, the wrestling business has been very good to me, and I know being in the business, even though I've only been in a few years, I know time, Father Time waits for nobody. I mean, yes, Ric Flair just had his last match at 73 years old, or whatever he is. He's Ric freaking Flair. Right. He did it legit for 40 years. He was in phenomenal shape. That's what he did. And then he was off retired for a long time and had medical issues and worked his way back to have that one moment to end it as he wanted to. So it's not like wrestling 300 days a year. Right. But he did do it into his, what, 50s regularly. But he was Ric Flair. I mean, that's what he did. Guys that have made a history, you know, a career out of it, they're in a little bit better shape. But as I get older, the body's not in good shape. It's not been taken care of, so to speak. I don't have a lot of bumps left on the card. So it's fun to learn different aspects of the business. I've gotten to dabble in some commentary. I've gotten to, I'm behind the curtain with one organization. So I'm starting to get into talent relations and maybe some creative and just learning all I can. I don't know enough about any of that to even pretend I could do it, but it's fun to learn and help and chime in something here and there just to stay connected with the business. You guys know with the haunt industry, we do that too. Maybe we started as a performer, but at some point the body says you're not doing this full time anymore.
You get into
owning a group or owning a haunt or, you know, marketing or haunt reviewing or become a member of a state association or, you know, all these different things that go out there. I put together a convention, whatever, other ways of staying connected to the business. So no matter what business you're in, I might encourage that too, is if you love it, find a way to stay in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. Wow, this has been a fun conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's been okay.
Oh, it's been more than okay, Terry. You know, like I said, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and you did not disappoint. It was very good. I think people are going to take something away from this show, which good. Is what I hope. Because that's just the way you are, and you shoot straight. And you told it like it is. And that's all I can ask from any guest.
Appreciate it. I was very honored that Donnie asked. Thank you so much. I'm happy to come on. I've not done too many haunt podcasts, and I've done a couple wrestling podcast. So it was nice to bring the two together.
Yeah. Two birds with one stone, huh?
Yes. Very nice. We did have a, there was a nice show this past Saturday. So we didn't talk about it, but I'll plug it if, unless you guys tell me to shut up. So we had Ascend Pro Wrestling had their Ascend the Throne 3 show. This last year was their 3-year anniversary. So the training school is very new and still growing. Great attended show. Two steel cage matches. I mean, 3-on-1 handicap, like just all sorts of crazy stuff. These kids are amazing what they're putting out there. And B.A. Bundy, we talked about him earlier, put his career on the line in a match. So that was fun to see all the fans and even some of the staff that just believed that Bundy was going to be done after that night. He wasn't going to win that match, and he was out the door. So watching, just seeing the difference in the interaction between the staff and the fans and how it was received. Even that as an entertainer was cool. Like I got to see just that change, and it was neat. It was really cool. And I'll be danged if he didn't end up winning the match.
Right. So they ain't got rid of him yet.
No, I thought he was gone.
Well, that's, kudos and congratulations to B.A. Bundy for not losing that match and his career. But I gotta say, this has been great, Terry. Thank you so much for coming on. My name is Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover and our special guest Terry Rook. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Catch you down the road.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.